Idiot Junkies, episode number 7. That's pretty impressive, I think, coming from 1 to 7. But like I said, stay tuned and wait for the episode 100. Yeah, pretty soon. By this time next year, maybe we're going to be around the 100. But anyways, so sorry, but this week, Chris is not going to be with me, so it's just me, solo mode. I know, everybody just, you know, come to listen to this podcast because Chris has, like, the most amazing and sexy voice in the podcast world. We all know that. But he has some more exciting things to do. Actually, yeah, it's quite more exciting. He probably is in San Francisco at this point with his wife. So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty good excuse. I wouldn't argue that at all. But anyways, continue with these amazing podcast, Garage Media Junkies. If you don't know the name, again, I can repeat it, Garage Media Junkies. Actually, for this time, I'm going to talk a little bit about the title because I think we didn't talk about it before at all. But after a brainstorm of, like, really ridiculous and stupid names like Garage Media Junkies, we conclude that literally we record these podcasts for the most part in a garage. Yeah, when I bought, my wife and I started renting this new place where we live in. Originally, it was just like a two-room or something, two-room, one bathroom. But once we came here, apparently they did some tweaks to the house and ended up being 4 rooms, and one of those were the garage. Apparently, the people living before us, they sort of, you know, custom made the garage to sort of resemble a room, and that's my caveman, and that's where we record this podcast for the most part. And then we decided we're going to talk about media, you know, everything to consume through a screen, games, TV shows, music, you know, today with devices and gadgets, so much media, probably the most in the entire human history. And junkies, because we're two guys addicted to these kind of things, you know. We're geeks or nerds or whatever adjective you want to put in there. But we enjoyed it a lot, and we're passionate about it, as a lot of you guys that probably listen to podcasts and watch a lot of YouTube channels, and you can see it's a big boom. A lot of big YouTubers talking about these topics because, you know, it's what people want. It's we're that generation. Some people call millennials. I personally don't think I fit in that category the way they describe it, but it's, that's the name. And that's the reason this name came up, with the mixture of these three elements, you know, the Garage Media Junkies. So anyways, after this big ass long introduction, another thing I want to ask for you guys is if you can review us on iTunes. That will be really cool. If you want to, you don't need to do it, but it will be nice. It will be nice you guys to, you know, start sort of have a dialogue between us and you, the listener, or the podcaster, or whatever name is managed. Like I say, I don't know those terms. I'm too old for that. But you can leave us a review on iTunes. That will be nice. Don't necessarily need to be 5 stars. We know that, you know, we're not perfect or anything, but we try our best. And it will be nice to hear about you guys, what you think about the show. It's too long, it's too short. And like I say, we always going to work towards what we think works better for the format that we want to go, like the structure of the podcast. But we're definitely going to listen to every single one comment from you. And if you're like, nah, I don't want to do the iTunes, I don't want to do the rating crap, I'm going to say a few of my social media services or whatever I use. And next week, Chris is going to say a few of his. But for me, you can find me on Twitter as Film H Inc. FilmHink on Twitter. Also on Instagram, you can find me as Film underscore Inc. That's my username. And on Facebook as Hugo Mesa Zero. What else? I have two. Sorry, I have one YouTube channel, which I don't do like live blog, but it's more like I put some of my video projects, music videos and stuff, and it's called Film Inc. on YouTube. Film H Inc. Yeah, on YouTube. And you know, if you don't want to do the iTunes things, then you can go in those, put me comments, follow me, and you know, start talking to each other. That will be nice. I mean, it will be really cool to have a conversation, and even you guys can put inputs or what kind of topics you want to us to talk, Chris and I to talk on the show, and you know, or what kind of type of guest you want us to bring to the show. Which, you know, I mean, we already have one who is an audio engineer, and so far that's the sort of most popular one. And and just, you know, we invite these people to give us our little like insight of how they consume media, how, and because they somehow are involved working and developing content for this kind of media, so great to have that insight. You know, how they think, what they do, why they do it, how to do it, and, you know, and how it's evolving. So, anyways, for this episode, this time we're gonna talk about the long-awaited sort of Nintendo Switch. We finally have the presentation this last Thursday, which I watched the whole thing. It was like an hour. And we have more information, more elements, and not the full information. We have more of how it's going to work, more details, games, some games. But on the other side, also, it was a little bit disappointed because we didn't have exactly... I mean, disappointed in a way, because we already know Nintendo's not going to go on toe-to-toe to Xbox and PS4 at all. Like, I mean, that's been clear for quite a while. So it's obviously that they didn't, you know, like, reveal like the teraflops and all that jibber-jabber that Xbox and PS4 normally throw, or companies in general just throw, and they never actually explain how, you know, it's just teraflops and, you know, these games going to run and blah, blah, and all these things. At the end of the day, if you're not super savvy about those terms, or you don't care much about those, you don't understand, or like, even when they introduce games and they show you like, oh yeah, this run amazing, it looks incredibly amazing, it ended up being like they're running the game on a PC or on you know, like another system, there's not the console. And by the time they're finishing the product, then they just optimize those games to run on the consoles. So again, always do your research. Always don't believe everything that they throw you, obviously. And who cares? Like, if you like Xbox, go for an Xbox. If you like PS4 in the games, go for... I mean, we already know Nintendo, it's one of the biggest, period, all the time. Like, Mario is the most... Like, when you say video games, that's probably the first thing that comes to your mind. Or at least for a lot of people. Maybe new generation, younger generations can tell you Candy Crush or stuff like that. But no matter what, it's like already Mario. It's a really popular element in video games. Sorry. Saying that... So starting the Thursday presentation, we have this is going to be released on March 3rd, 2017, which is a little bit, not earlier, they already managed somewhere in March, but everybody was thinking it was the end of the month, you know, the last week or something like that. So that's a little bit earlier, it's like less than six weeks. Another important element, it was the price, $300. So... Yeah, I mean, it was around the range. Everybody was managing from $250 to $300. And that's a quite big chunk of money, to be honest. It's not super expensive. Thankfully, not, because then that will be the Nintendo graveyard tomb if they go something ridiculous like 400. I think nobody will buy it for more than 3, period. And 3 was the limit. It was the rumor that everybody was, throwing on websites and YouTube channels and everything. So $300, like, kind of okay. Now, it's going to come in 2 different bundles with no games. And that was kind of like a little bit off because then, yeah, Xbox and PS4 in the beginning, I think they have games. So at least they always give you some sort of digital download with some, you know, game, not like a big franchise game. So I wish Nintendo will push the ribbon a little bit more, push the excitement a little bit more. Even if they didn't put Breath of the Wild as a bundle, because that's, I'm gonna, you know, tell you about the other little details in advance, but Breath of the Wild is the biggest launch at this point. It's gonna be launching the same date as the console, March 3, and probably is gonna cost $60, something like that. And I can understand they didn't bundle that game with the console. Totally, you know, like, all right, I can take that. But they can put like maybe the other small games. They have these, they call it Switch. Sorry, it's always confusing. One to Switch, which is some resemble of Wii Sports. You know, you use the controllers and to do. And the other characteristic is you're not watching the screen for the most part. It's more like an interaction with the other person in the room, almost like one of those table games, like some of those machines. They say something like some voices and everything. You interact with other people or something like that. So it still is kind of interesting because the controls have a lot of sensors and they sort of help to enhance the experience playing that game. But again, like, it will be nice if that game was included on the bundle, you know, not just like the console and that's it. But anyways, we're going to cover that a little bit more in a little bit. So anyways, $300. The other big drop for Nintendo, because really Xbox and PS4 has been doing it for a long time. And I think it was Xbox the one to start the online services with the Xbox Gold. Sorry, by the way, I'm sick. But I'm here. Here I am. Like a warrior. But anyways, they finally gonna have the online service for the Nintendo again. This is pretty much just the same layout the PS4 service and Xbox service do. We already know if you have few games. We don't know at this point also if those games they're gonna release, which is our NES and Super Nintendo games. It's not even, you know, bigger games, which is still fine. I mean, some classics that are cool, but they didn't say anything about being for free or you're going to have it or just for like the duration of paying these online services. You know, like they throw all these elements, but that was the kind of thing that bothers me. They never went in depth about that. And hopefully they're going to release more news and more stuff on their website and all their social media and, you know, blah, blah. But it will be nice if they clarify a little bit more in those terms. But at least now it's here, finally, for Nintendo. So if you're a super big fan of Nintendo, you always feel jealous of PS4 and Xbox online structure. Well, seems like they're going to try to push now for this. And they need to. I mean, those are like the minimum requirements for consoles these days. You know, the online services, now it's a huge one. It's super popular, and not having it, it's kind of like a letdown. And the other cool thing is the region locked is gone forever. Now you're not going to need to, if you buy your console in Australia or Asia or America, now you just you can't play this game, this console, this for this region, blah, blah, which is a bunch of bullshit, in my opinion. So, this region lock finally is, they get rid of it. So that's another plus for the console and the Nintendo environment they want to create now. And I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know. We live in a world where internet, like, that's the other thing with the PS Vita, and right now they don't, obviously not producing games for the console, but a lot of indie development creators is the one that, sorry, I yawn a lot. Yeah, the indie developers for the PS Vita is the one that give them a lot of life. They have a lot of cool games in Asia, and you know, that's what keep alive the that handheld console, even when PlayStation say that they're just pretty much, they just say like, nah, we don't care anymore, period. So that's it. So you can have all the weird games, because some people see it like, oh, that's a weird game, you know, blah, blah. But there are really great games everywhere, you know. It just seems ridiculous that you section the types of games that you can deliver to your consumers, you know. So that was the important part, you know, price, date, and a few of the characteristic of the console in general. And then they, from there, they jump to, you know, showing a little bit more of the console. So it's gonna have Wi-Fi, which should have Wi-Fi, you know. I don't know about the 3G and, you know, like having like a phone service attached to the console. I mean, I don't see any sense on that. Some people may like it, but not me. And really, really easily these days, you can have your phone make it a hotspot, and then you share your internet. So that's good, because then the cost can come down, and I think that's the idea of Nintendo, and that's why they went just to the Wi-Fi. Another big one, and everybody was talking about this. Sorry, talking about this. It was the battery life. And they say that it can go from 2.5 to 6 hours. More realistically, like at least they say with Zelda will be around 3 hours, and that's probably the realistic approach. Now, some people may think like, ah, yeah, 2.5 and 3 hours. That's easily a plane if you go into a close city around you. Yeah. That's nice to have those 3 hours. But then the console has a C-type USB port, which means you can bring either the cable and you can hook it up to a power outlet, or even the more, I hope, I mean, again, this is the details that they, I wish they could announce in that presentation, but it sounds logical that even you can buy a big battery pack and bring it with you, and you can be able to charge your or play, just hook it up to a battery pack. Now they're really popular, and they're reasonably cheap, and they have a lot of use. So it seems like it was a good idea, and it's a good move. Also, you can play local multiplayer with until eight consoles with the Wi-Fi everywhere connected to the Wi-Fi in between each other. So that's a lot of consoles that you can hook it up if you don't like the online services. If you have a lot of friends with a lot of money, obviously, to spend this console, you can play local multiplayer, which is still cool. I mean, I still like the experience to play with your friends or whoever, you know, somebody close to you, having the same experience and have the reaction there instead of a mic. And, you know, it's, I still, probably it's because I'm old, but it's still really cool. Another characteristic is it's going to have three modes: the TV style, which is obviously hooked to the dock, then the tabletop, which is just with the tablet or the console, but it really looks like a tablet, and has like a hinge, and you can put it on the desk, and that's the tabletop mode. You have the controllers, one each on your hand, and play that way, or the handheld, obviously, which is just the console with the two controllers attached as a tablet mode. And from there, they jump directly to the Joy-Con, which they put a lot of attention on this, and it has sense, because the Wii was one of the most popular console ever, and part of a big part of that success was the motion control, and a lot of the games that take advantage of that. And it seems like they go a little bit in this route with these Joy-Cons there too. And again, you can either play with the handheld mode, which you put on the side of the tablet, and then there you go, you have your little console on the go, or put them on these, they call it a grip, which is like a pretty much attachment where you put the controllers and give you a more classic feel of a remote control. And also you can use them individually with one of your hands, and they have this wrist strap, they connect to these controllers, and then you have it in your wrist and they're safe. And also you can potentially, for depending how the developer used these features, have two controls in one, because then for certain games you can give one Joy-Con to each person. Maybe like, for example, for Mario Kart, they were showing that you can, you know, just split it in between two persons, and those two persons can play Mario Kart, because it's not a game that necessarily use the whole layout of the buttons. So that was really cool. They're kind of small, so maybe that will be a little issue, but again, it's, you know, they're things they're welcome sometimes. That would be cool if, you know, thinking about PlayStation, Xbox have some sort of these characteristics transported to those consoles. But again, it's just part of the Nintendo always trying to figure it out, other ways to make people play in a different, you know, give you a more, I don't know if you call it depth experience, but definitely give you options. Like, all right, you don't necessarily need to be sitting down on your couch and play the game with the typical ways. But that was a cool thing. And they're going to have the typical, like, gray layout, sort of normal color, nothing crazy. And then they have the other two. It's red and neon, or some blue neon or red neon, which I don't like it, but it seems like a lot of people get excited. And again, I don't say like I don't like it because like, just to say like such a dumb idea. No, that's cool. I mean, people can have definitely have that package or that bundle. Personally, I love more the less extreme crazy colors. So that's it. They have what it's called the HD Rumble, which is probably just a more precise like a sort of the rumble, like the rumble pack back in the Nintendo 64, you know, like all the shocking and the movement and the, you know, that thing characteristic and that control transported now, which now it's a basic feature in every console control, PS4, Xbox, everybody have it. But it seems like they make a lot of emphasis on this characteristic, that's what they call HD Rumble. And then it was like this kind of funny and kind of ridiculous presentation where the guy was like some sort of, supposedly you feel exactly all the vibration as a cube of ice, you know, going to the cup, and supposedly you feel the heft and all the movement and almost like that, you know. And it seems like this is going towards maybe VR in the future, you know. You somehow these Joy-Cons be able, almost like, yeah, like the PS4 VR, you know, that you have these two controllers and you move and gather things and sort of like that, almost resembling your hands in the game. So it I don't know. I'm just speculating, but that's how it sort of they tried to imply in that presentation, which is cool again. Like, at least for a lot of people, have the have the opportunity to know maybe that in the future even Nintendo's gonna push for the VR with this console, which in paper for a lot of people it seems underpowered. So we're gonna eventually see what's going on. So yeah, so that was like the big part with the lay of the console, which again I'm excited to a certain point, but I don't know yet. Like, I was thinking like, oh, maybe I can somehow pre-order, but then that was the issue, the other issue with this presentation. They announced like, well, we have 80 games in development, which is cool. And they show they already show like a lot of the third party companies supposedly working with Nintendo for this console. But that was the thing. They just say 80 games in development. They never announce like how developed these games are or which companies was doing which games. So it's cool. It's fair amount of games in development, but that's it. We don't know dates. We don't know or tentative dates or anything. And that was kind of like my only issue, besides, you know, like having a little bit more detailed certain things and these, you know, the games. But then they come up with a list of games that for sure they're going to drop during, you know, this year. And I'm going to go in depth a little bit later about my suspicions about all these things. But anyways. So one of the games that I told you earlier was the one to Switch, which is, again, isn't an interaction game, and it looks like almost like Wii Sports, but in a different interaction, where it was like this cowboy little game where one of the players have one of the Joy-Cons, and then in the screen it will be the countdown, you know, 3, 2, 1, whatever, and then it will... the players will simulate like shooting each other with the Joy-Cons, which had all these sensors and stuff. It's supposed to be super accurate. And then whoever, you know, click the button for the trigger on the game is the one that wins. And again, it's kind of cool. I like the idea because, you know, I love Westerns a lot. And that's pretty cool having that kind of mini game. And I forget what was the other one they show, but that's pretty much it is. Those type of little games for families. Like, that's the games that you play with your mom or your dad, or everybody comes together and Christmas, let's say. And at least for me, I have an issue with, like, board games. I don't like them that much. I mean, I can play it still, but it's not like, oh my God, I'm dying to play board games. And these definitely could be cool to replace that in a family Christmas time, and everybody gets to come together and let's play these mini games each other, you know, against each other. And it seems like a cool game. Again, for a lot of people, it will be like, nah, this is super stupid. Why these games exist? Come on, where are the graphics, power, and all the shit that, you know, make me wet? Well, let me tell you guys, for those people that are like that, it's a big market, you know? Like, why not to think, you don't need to buy it, it's fine, but why not to think that these games have their space and have their audience and somebody's gonna buy it? Like, this can be cool. I have a 1-year-old kid now, and later on when he's older and start understanding this thing, it can be really cool to play these games with my kid, to be honest. So again, it's definitely clear market for these games, so don't get too mad, please. Next one was ARM, which is a boxing game. Well, on paper it's a boxing game, but it has certain elements, like the arms of the characters like expand, like almost like a spring, and each character has different characteristics. Obviously, it looks cool. I mean, it's not the most graphical power, but it was more than decent, more than what I was expecting for the Switch to come up, and it looks cool. And the other part is you use the Joy-Con separately, like one in each hand, and actually you can simulate giving a punch, and then the character will react to that movement. And also some gestures with your hands, doing different moves. You know, it triggers different actions. So it looks cool. There, it seems like it was just six characters. Probably eventually they're gonna throw a few other and I was thinking actually when I see that, like, maybe they should take the Punch Out franchise that they own and, you know, bring it back. But I mean, it doesn't bother me. Maybe then later in a DLC or something they will throw a few of those characters, you know, from the Punch-Out franchise, which I think it will be a cool idea to bring a few memories back. That was another of those, like, games to use these new interactions with the Joy-Cons. Like, they really highlight those, you know, the HD rumble and all the sensors. It's supposed to even have a camera, like, I forget, but it's almost like a laser camera. They measure how close or how far you are from the controller and stuff like that. So definitely they put a lot of technology in these, and hopefully the game developers can take advantage of all these new cool things in the Joy-Cons. Then from there, the number three is the one that everybody was talking, is Splatoon 2. And I personally didn't play it, but it seems like a lot of people love it a lot. And it just have a new few characters, more guns, and more, you know, just enhancing the Splatoon 1, just putting more stuff in the number 2 to make it more cooler and bigger, and a little bit bigger in scale. And then they announced Super Mario Odyssey. But the only problem is it's going to come to the holidays, which means probably December, around that time. And it's finally that Mario that everybody was asking, the, you know, the 3D Mario, sort of like resembling that Super Mario from Nintendo 64, which is cool. I enjoyed that game a lot. It was different. It was finally like, oh my God, 3D elements on video games back in what, 2000 or something. That was like, yes, finally, you know, when you were growing up with from the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega, and they finally, the games make that jump to 3D, was like mind blowing at that point. And they bring all those elements to a new story, which it looks cool, it looks great. I think it's gonna sell like pancakes like crazy. And I mean, it's Mario, and they finally bring this game where a lot of people were asking for those elements, the 3D environments, the super adventures, and apparently they're going to put a few more elements like that. Now you can use the hat as a weapon and stuff like that. So, but the sad part is not going to be a launch title, which is a little bit disappointed, but then again, if you think about from the launch of the Wii U to now that they finally are going to deliver the Switch, well, it wasn't that big time to start developing super fast to have it ready. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is because it's been in development for a while. So it's understandable, but it's kind of like, come on, guys. Another one, Xenoblade 2, for all the RPG fans. They didn't show much. I mean, just showed the little trailer for the game. Also for Fire Emblem Warriors 2, if somebody's super fan of that franchise, there we go. They're going to come somewhere between all the 2017. They're going to have progressively launching a few of these titles, you know, every 2-3 months. Also Dragon Quest, a lot of love from Dragon Quest, Dragon Quest 10, 11, and Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2. Square Enix is working on some game called Project Octopath Traveler or something like that. it's an RPG, sort of like a classic look from the old RPGs with some 3D elements, and, you know, graphically it looks more polished, but it looks interesting. I'm not a big fan of RPGs, need to be, especially from what a RPG used to be, you know, like the roll turn game. But again, because now a few games like The Witcher is called also, it's considered also sort of an RPG, but again, it's more like a classic take. Atus is coming with Shin Megami Tensei, also a big franchise, personally didn't play it before, but it's good that they are having these games. Bethesda came on stage and they confirmed they're making a port for Skyrim, which is kind of cool, but at the same time, it's a game that's been like for a while now. And I mean, if you're gonna buy the Nintendo, well, at least you're gonna have that experience, have Skyrim on the go. If you didn't play it yet, which I did, I played it a little bit and then I never come back. But if you never finish or have the chance to play it in really deeply, this is, if you, and if you're gonna buy a Nintendo Switch, well, then definitely you can buy it on that console. But if you're already playing everything, then I don't see it, like, the, seems like everybody was making a big deal about it, but you know, not to me. But again, it's fine that Bethesda is throwing something there special for Nintendo. Then seems like No More Hero 3 is gonna also come up on the Nintendo Switch. They throw a presentation of that guy. I don't know if he's the founder or the creator of No More Heroes. It was so awkward. But it seems like that's the thing. That game is going to come up on the Switch. FIFA also come on the stage, like EA, and talk about... it seems like they're going to make a custom-made game for the Switch, for, you know, the franchise FIFA. Which somehow make me feel like they're not gonna fully embrace the console. Is like, oh yeah, we're gonna give you a FIFA game. They never say FIFA 17 or FIFA like 18. It was just, it seems like it's a custom made for the hardware from Nintendo, the Nintendo Switch. Hopefully not. Hopefully they're gonna keep, you know, I mean, it's not like I die for FIFA games, but I know it's a big market out there, and for Nintendo users, it would be cool if they have their annual, if not annual, at least they keep giving support to the Nintendo Switch, you know. And then the biggest one, which I already throw out there, was Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's a launch title. It looks really gorgeous, looks really great. I think I already mentioned a past podcast, it looks, it's a mixture between these like conceptual art and the style, and it resembles a lot of Lord of the Rings Shadow of Mordor, which I really love that game. I played and it was really outstanding and great, and it gave me a resemble of that too. And now with a character so beloved like Link coming back to this adventure, I think is that's gonna be a big part of Nintendo selling a lot of Switch console. I already hear a lot of people like, just for that game they're gonna probably buy the console, and it's okay, they wanna do it that way. And it was clear that if they didn't launch Breath of the Wild, you know, at the same time as the console, it will be a really big letdown for Nintendo. Which, again, if you hear the list, is not that big. Just, I think it's just four games coming, launching with the console. Obviously, Zelda is the big one. ARMS 2, 1, 2, Switch, and I forget what's the other one. I think it's some Bomberman game. But again, it's not a big game, you know. It's not a big franchise. No mention of Metroid or any other big IPs they have, or Mega Man, or so. It, you know, it's like, it looks great. It still keep me excited. Still thinking about it if I'm gonna buy it or not. Because right now I just have a PS3, which still have a big library. There's a lot of games that barely try yet, and their prices are really great. And I'm not like being on, oh, I need to have the biggest graphics right now. Like, it's games like Last of Us still in there, GTA 5. So for me, it's not like I need to make the like a purchase as soon as possible. Also, I have my computer. I can go to Steam and still, like, right now I'm playing Mad Max, and I think it's a wonderful game. It's pretty cool. So again, I'm not the person to that normally go and buy the latest and greatest one, because it's expensive too. $300 is not like, oh yeah, I can, you know, shit, and I'm gonna have $300 to spend. But I have a really love for Nintendo, because as many of you probably, that's when you start playing games. This is the first game you have, and I can remember countless of hours having a great time just playing those games. And there's a nostalgic aspect of that, of course. So for the games that's it, they have a few other ones, but that was the thing I was talking. I think they don't have enough, because everything, you know, from the Wii U to the Switch was a big transition. The Wii U was a letdown, a big letdown, I think, in a while. And Nintendo's concerned. Nintendo, it's also transitioning from the old to the new, probably people working there trying to figure it out how to tackle the market. When you have something like the PlayStation, the Xbox, having the biggest market, I think. Sorry, man. I'm tired. But, yeah, having the big market, the and again, it's really clear they're marketing this console in a different way than the Wii or Wii U. You know, yeah, they have... They know they can have some revenue from, like, they want to switch from family friendly. They know that some kids are going to buy it, but it clearly has some more like a cool and mature tone in the whole development of this console. And somehow I'm excited about that. I don't want the latest and greatest graphic powers or the equipment from Nintendo, because clearly it's been a while that they're being really clear that's not their goal. Nah, they're always concerned about giving experience to people, giving great IPs, giving great games that everybody can play, everybody can jump on this console and games. So I appreciate that, because if you think about it, something like a PS4 and Xbox probably is giving headaches somehow to Nintendo too. They can't just ignore that. So that's what the biggest market it is right now, or even the PC. And still at this point, like, all right, we're going to go in the middle ground. We're going to give you something slightly more powerful than everything we throw before, and give you some power graphic. But at the same time, that's not going to be our main focus. We're not going to go, you know, the same route as Xbox and PlayStation, and somehow, you know, give you something that looks gorgeous like Breath of the Wild to show all the other developers. Like, there you go. There it is. It's like, it's a console that's, you know, it can bring some heat, but not at the level of the other consoles. But still, you can develop and do great things if you want to. And you know, some people is gonna like it and other not. You maybe say like, no, I'm not gonna buy the Switch, I don't care, and that's cool. That's cool. But you can also miss that there are certain things that Nintendo are trying to bring to the video game scenes, like the motion control, the different controls, these Joy-Cons now. And even if you don't, I don't like the Joy-Cons, then they are offering you a regular controller that they call it the Pro, and it's almost like it looks like an Xbox, sort of, just like the shape is a little bit slightly different, but it's pretty much the same. It's a basic controller, like all the layouts and everything is the same. Also, the fact that they are trying to converge the handheld and home console in one. It's a really interesting topic, you know, that they can just detach the tablet thing and then go. I don't know if I go in the train, if I go on the bus, or well, depending where you live, maybe in some places shouldn't be that great. Like, probably somebody's gonna take that console out of your hands. But I mean, it's really great. You go in the plane and you bring your console, boom, put it there, and let's play a little bit, and that's great. It's just more options. That's what that's what I like. At least for me, like, it's more options. Same as with movies, you know, it's like different genres and different directors and different approach. And yeah, some things I'm gonna say I don't like them, but not just for the sake of like, oh, I don't like it, you know. But at the same time, I know if I love a movie or video game or a TV show or something, like anything in life, and I go and present it to somebody else, like, hey, dude, you should jump on this, you should watch this. It's not guaranteed that the other people is going to like it. And at the same time, I'm not going to make a big deal of it out of it. You know, I'm not going to tell them like, oh, you suck or whatever. So anyways, I'm start going a little bit out of topic, just tiny bit, but it's related. Believe me, it's related. So there you go. That's most of the elements of the Nintendo Switch. For the next episode, I'm going to let Chris talk a little bit in the beginning. About what he thinks, because I'm curious to know about his opinion, since he probably play more video games than me, a little bit more probably. I'm coming back slowly, but yeah. Chris is gonna have, you know, his time to share his opinions. I'm really curious. Probably you're super curious with his lovely and sexy voice. And next week we're gonna come back to movies finally. Because it's been like, I think it's been three in a row, two in a row with just beating them, which is fine. I enjoy talking about this stuff. But we're going to start talking about movies because we're heading to Oscars, the Golden Globes just happened recently. And it's just so much good stuff coming soon on movies. I'm excited. There are a few great movies that I want to talk to. And also, we're starting to prepare more guest episodes in this podcast. So we're working towards just enjoy doing this, because that's what we do. And really, like, if anything come up from this podcast, it will be awesome. But it's not like we're doing it to be popular or like, you know, become big podcasters or anything like that. Just we do it because we like to talk about these topics. We're just like you, and we have the chance to do this podcast. So there we go. There it is. We really, really appreciate if you listen to us, like, a lot, because I know it's a lot of good, amazing content out there these days. So if you're one of those persons that stays like almost the whole hour, then we deeply appreciate that. Again, if you can leave us a review, that's great. If you want to contact us on our social media, again, Chris next episode is gonna throw some of his, so you can contact him too. And if you live in the San Diego area, eventually, and if you want to join us in this podcast, be our guest too, you're definitely going to be able to do it. Just contact us. Again, we are normally in North San Diego area, which is Oceanside, Carlsbad, Vista, San Marcos. But if you're around, you know, this area, or even you're willing to travel from all the way, you know, San Diego or LA or whatever area, you can contact us, and we definitely can make it happen. We're sort of start making a schedule and how how many episodes and a month we're gonna sort of have big guests and all this stuff. But anyways, we're growing. We love talk about this stuff and this crap podcast, Garage Media Junkies. And actually, we have a Facebook page now. Before I forget, yeah, you can find us in Garage Media Junkies in case you don't want to add us directly, but you want to keep being informed a little bit. That's Facebook page, Garage Media Junkies. Anyways, maybe in the future we're going to consider doing the video thing, but who knows? We're just going to step baby steps by baby steps. Have a nice week. Yeah, I know it's Monday. You're probably listening Monday, so we normally, that's the day that we post this podcast. Have a great week. Always, you know, be positive. You know, as bad as it looks out there, try always to, you know, be positive. Keep working for whatever dream you have. Just keep working on it. And eventually, if you hard work, it's going to come true somehow, you know. And that's it. That's it for this episode of Garage Media Junkies. My name is Hugo Mesa. And also, my partner in crime name is Chris Espinosa. Have an amazing day and keep watching good stuff. Keep playing good stuff, you know, and whatever device you have in hand. All right. So, see you later, people. Adios.